Yeah, I mean, this has been a successful session. We've taken on some important issues like minimum wage. We've worked with the General Assembly. We got that passed today on sine die. We've also passed a number of other important measures to, you know, create safer neighborhoods, safer communities, safer families by passing a number of domestic violence bills. And also, very exciting, this weekend on Saturday, the General Assembly completed their work on the administration bill to expand pre-K education to more and more Maryland four-year-olds. So it's been a good session. There's still a little bit of work to do as we work with our colleagues in the General Assembly on some other important matters, bills introduced by others. So we've got a few more hours left.
I would think you're proudest most of the domestic violence bills.
You know, I've worked a number of years on reducing domestic violence in Maryland, and where we have women and children are more often the victims of domestic violence. We set as a goal to reduce violence against women and children, and we have. We've done a number of things to do that. A few years ago, we passed legislation to give judges the authority to order abusers to surrender their firearms. This year, very important bill, Maryland was the only state that had a high standard of proof to get a protective order. You needed clear and convincing evidence, often very difficult for victims. We now join the ranks of every other state in the District of Columbia. We lowered the standard of proof to preponderance of the evidence. So we believe that we're going to really save lives and protect more victims of domestic violence as they are now able to get a protective order a little bit easier than they have been able to in the past. So some important measures on domestic violence, culminating, I think, about 8 years of good work in reducing violence against women and children in Maryland.
One of the issues that has sort of overshadowed this whole session is the health exchange and the problems with it. You've gotten a lot of criticism, and they say that you're responsible. If you were put in charge, you should be held responsible for this. There are some who say you don't even deserve to be Maryland's next governor because of that. What do you say to all that?
You know, as I've said before, everyone who was involved in establishing the exchange has responsibility, and that includes me. When we experienced the significant technology glitches and troubles in October, we immediately took action. And as a result of that action, we not only met our goal of enrolling 260,000 Marylanders, we've exceeded that goal. And today, 295,000 Marylanders are enrolled through the Health Benefits Exchange. And it's not just numbers. These are Marylanders. This is this single mom who couldn't get health insurance for her or her child because her child had a pre-existing condition. This is the family that was paying several hundred dollars a month for health care and now are paying a little over $100 a month. And what we know is that the Health Benefits Exchange, it's more than a website, and we had problems with the website. But the call center personnel, the staff, the navigators, and the connectors, they rolled up their sleeves, a lot of manual workarounds, and as a result, we enrolled 295,000.
How do you explain the fact that not as many people enrolled in private health insurance as was first expected? First, the numbers were 150,000. I know those numbers were revised downward. Either way, it was below estimate.
Sure. So the overall a goal or attainment was, you know, we attained 113% of our goal. And in the commercial, what you're referring to as the QHP, 90% enrollment. The goal there was 70. We enrolled about 63,000. But I think it's important to keep in mind that whether someone has a health insurance that is in the commercial market or in the Medicaid market, it's health insurance that connects people to health care. And with that connection to health care, that's when we improve the quality of life for Marylanders. That's when families no longer have to go to the emergency department to get health care, but they can now go to a primary care provider. That's where a family now is not having to make tough choices between do I take my child to a doctor and pay a lot of out of cost, or can I now and forfeit other needs of the family like food or transportation. But families don't have to make that choice anymore. And so this is not about numbers. This is about Marylanders and Marylanders' access to quality health care.
Let me get your perspective again on the session. Is there one thing the General Assembly didn't do that perhaps the voters select you and you move down the hall here next year, you'd want the General Assembly to consider?
Well, it's not necessarily a matter of what the General Assembly didn't do, but certainly one of the things I'd like to see as the next step forward for education in Maryland is to make greater investments in career technology education, both the facilities as we increase our investments in school construction and school facilities, and also in programming. I think, you know, the President Obama was in Maryland today at Bladensburg. I had an opportunity to hear him speak. And it's the Youth Career Connection Program, and it's delivering more career technology programming in our schools to complement our comprehensive high school education so that our students, particularly those who are not going directly to the four-year college, but that they have skills to compete in the workforce, whether it's nursing or whether it's culinary and arts and hospitality, whether it's automotive or HVAC. And this is the kind of programming that we can and should bring more of into our high schools, and that's what I'd like to see us pick up next year.
I guess you switched to campaign mode after today, right?
Well, you know, the campaign is only, it's about 2.5 months
right,
away,
right.
Right? June 24th is Election Day. And, you know, this is the most important election. I know we always say that, but when you think about it, elections are about the future, and this is the next election between today and our future. So it's an important election, and I certainly look forward to being out there on the campaign trail with Ken Ullman, talking to Marylanders about how we build a better Maryland for more Marylanders.
Just a broad question. How is an Anthony Brown, Ken Ullman administration different from a Martin O'Malley, Anthony Brown administration?
I don't think it's a question of how we're different. I think it's a question of what's next. How do we build on the successes that we've achieved over the last 7 years? We've built the best in the nation public schools, so how do we bring it to the next level? I think, you know, pre-K expansion is part of that. I think the career technology education is a big piece of that, and I have two proposals that I've rolled out to do that. When we look at things like health care, we've expanded access to quality, affordable health care to now over more than 500,000 Marylanders.
And you're comfortable running on that issue? I mean, given the problems of the exchange website.
Well, let me just finish that thought on what's next. So we've expanded access, and I think what's next is now we go deeper on what we do to eliminate health disparities, and not just by race and ethnicity, but health disparities that exist in Maryland along geographical mm-hmm. lines as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when your listeners, when voters are thinking about O'Malley Brown, and then they're thinking about Brown Ullman, I think the question is not how are you different, but what's next for Maryland? How do we build on these successes? So you were asking about.
Do you feel comfortable running on the health exchange experience?
Well, I think you, when you're running, the first thing that you're really running, what elections are about, or what's your vision for a better Maryland? How do we ensure economic prosperity and build more ladders of opportunity for more and more Marylanders to climb, into the middle class and pursue the American dream? It's vision. It's your values. It's also things like judgment and temperament that voters will look at, and voters look at results. They look at your record. And I think that in my case, voters will look at the thousands of jobs that have come to Maryland as part of base realignment and closure, and my leadership in coordinating that effort. Voters will look at our record in driving down violence against women and children, and the work that I've done in domestic violence. Voters will look at how we've reduced the number of kids in foster care. We've reduced the number of kids that are in foster care that are in group homes, and they'll look at that. They'll look at the work we've done to provide more supports, particularly behavioral and mental health services to our veterans. And, of course, they will look at health care. And they'll look at things like today we have 500,000 more Marylanders enrolled in health care than we did 7 years ago. They'll look at the efforts we've done to perhaps pass what has been characterized as one of the most innovative reforms in health care, and that's what we've done in our hospitals to incentivize hospitals to reduce costs and improve quality. They'll look at the health enterprise zones and the work we're doing to address health disparities. They'll look at the patient-centered medical home program. They're going to look at a number of things. And, yes, they'll look at our implementation of the Affordable Care Act, and they'll look at the health benefits exchange. And I believe that Marylanders will understand and recognize that in Maryland, notwithstanding that we had difficulties and every state, except for perhaps Kentucky and Connecticut, had challenges. The federal government launched the federal website with technical difficulties. That notwithstanding those difficulties, what we saw was leadership reorganizing the project, refocusing the vendors, you know, firing those vendors that weren't performing as they promised, and that at the end of the day, we enrolled 295,000 Marylanders, and we're now in the process of improving, upgrading the website so that by the next open enrollment in November, the user experience will be better for Marylanders. I think that's what they're going to look at the full spectrum of issues.
All right, Lieutenant Governor Brown, I promised Jared 10 minutes.